This is the East Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, presented by No Vape, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart, don't start. We are here to talk the biggest stories from Districts 5 and 6. In the week that was, Brandon Bainey joined by our East Idaho resident and expert, Sean Kane. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, just enjoying spring break to the fullest. Got some nice weather, of course, why we're not playing, but besides that, it's pretty good. Nice to have a little break. It's, you know, it's real interesting. Basketball ends kind of as spring sports start going, and once the weather starts to get good, it's like most school spring break. It's kind of like, oh, spring break comes up real fast, but spring sports in full gear.
Yeah, real start and stop. I remember when I was a kid, our school in Montana, we always did spring break the same week as the boys basketball state tournament, because it was pretty much a lock when I was a kid growing up in elementary school and high school in junior high that our boys basketball team was going to be at state. And so we just always said, okay, let's just do spring break the week of state, so all the kids can go. And that's how we did it. But
yeah, now some districts are different. Here in Pocatello, it usually lines up with ISU spring break. I don't know if it does this year. I'm just not in with the ISU knowledge anymore. Usually it's like that. But I feel like it was just way early this year. Usually it seems it's towards more the end of March. But, you know, we just got going with matches and stuff. And I'm like, all right, we got to play. Oh, spring break. See everyone later, you know. But you know, a lot of teams still go to tournaments and things like that. And one day we'll have to maybe explore that tennis-wise, having something over spring break. But unfortunately, the weather in East Idaho or anywhere in Idaho this early in March is, you're risking it. You might as well go to Vegas and put 20 on black.
could Pocatello ever host a big tennis tournament? Like the Capital Classic is the big dog.
And well, yeah, you're using like 15 big high school locations. Could we? Yes. We do an East Idaho, the Gate City tournament. And that's like a few teams around from East Idaho. Sometimes Wood River comes. They've had some different teams, but I mean, you could, you kind of see it going to more of that where you just are going to have tournaments, cause you can get more matches in a short period of time. Cause how tennis works is you get dates, but you can play, you know, 2 to 3 matches in a date and really get that, because what it comes down to is getting matches with the weather. Could we? I mean, we're in a revamping phase of courts. So I think if all the courts were at a good condition, we could host a smaller tournament. But it just comes down to a number of courts. At Capel Park, obviously in Chubbuck, there's 8 court facility, which we use for home matches right now, and it's phenomenal. But 8 courts really isn't enough for like 10 teams, unfortunately. But it's, you know, the tournament way is I like it because it's more like state, because a dual match is not really like what you do later. It's weird how your sport isn't like how the end result, like districts and state, is. Your sport doesn't really mirror that, having to play multiple matches in a day. So, but that's just me.
Kind of like wrestling, right? You do have some duels, but you also want those tournaments to simulate what you're going to run into at state.
Yeah, so playing 2 difficult matches or 3 difficult matches in one day is far different than playing 1 and going home and sleeping in your own bed. So,
right. Okay, so let's sketch this out just for hypothetical reasons, because it's spring break and there's not... No, I'm just kidding. So you got the courts at Capel Park, right? You've got... Each high school has their own courts, right?
Pocatello, I think it's Century. It's like 28 courts. I used to know this.
In the whole city? Are we counting ISU, Idaho State with this?
ISU has indoor. I don't know if the outdoor ones are really playable, so I wouldn't count them. Okay. But if we use indoor and outdoor, ISU has 4 indoor. Juniper Hills has 4 indoor. Pocatello has 8, you know, 4 at the school, 4 at Raymond. Highland has 8, and I have 6. So, yeah, I know all that.
That was impressive. This is why you're like one of the best tennis coaches of all time. Here in the chat, We've got Ryan Skaggs, our North Idaho prepcaster. Big tourney in Lewiston this weekend. Kane, you need to get up north. It's only a 9-hour bus ride. We have had the convo. Always Lewiston on the North Idaho Prepcast. They do. They host a big one. A bunch of Washington schools come over. It is a good tournament, but man.
Hey, my inbox is always open. You know, you send me the particulars and deals. I'll see what I can do. But yeah, we're definitely about traveling, getting that experience. That might be a little much, but I like to be the first to do things. Like, we played our first regular season match inside this year, and we've never done that before. So if I have to be the first to go to Northern Idaho, I would do it. I mean, I'm not afraid of that. Money is only gets in the way of what you want to do.
Yeah, a true pioneer. Tell me how the indoor meet went. Where did you host it? Well, who was the opponent? Well, I got to hear more about this.
Oh, this is great. So it was not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday before. We're supposed to play Bonneville. We're playing early in the morning, earlier, because Highland was going to play Idaho Falls. But I woke up and it's raining at my house. I live by Highland High School. I drive out to Chubbuck to Capel. It's not raining there, but the courts are wet, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to be dry. We're trying to call Bonneville athletic director and say, yeah, we just got to scratch it. Can't get a hold of them. One of the kids knows another kid on Bonneville. They text him, and they say, oh, we're in Blackfoot. I'm like, oh, great. The courts are wet. We squeegeed for like 2 hours, but I think it was like the humidity. It wasn't going to dry. There was no wind. When does that ever happen, Pocatello? And then we get to Bonneville arrives, and she's a first year head coach, and I'll have to look up her name because I can't remember, but she's like, do you guys normally play when it's like this? And I'm like, no, we don't. We can't play on this. I mean, like, they're soaked, someone could get hurt, and but she thought we were like gonna play because, you know, they came down. And that's Amy Anderson, the coach at Bonneville, her first year. Super nice. Her son, Roman Anderson, plays singles. But anyways, we're sitting there brainstorming. Can we call ISU? ISU is going to say no. It's a rec center. You know, like, it's booked out during the day. So all the kids get on their phones and check the availability of the country club's courts. And they're like, they're free. No one's booked them for, 3 hours or 4 hours. And so we call over there and make arrangements and do a shortened schedule, and we get the whole match in. But we started inside, and that's never happened before. And all the other ADs are calling my AD, how'd you guys do this? How'd you guys do this? And it was just kind of by luck that the courts weren't booked, and we have a good relationship with Juniper Hills Country Club and Pocatello. And it was great to get, about 80 kids an opportunity to play, which wouldn't have happened. Bonneville was already here. So it was a lot of fun. We played shortened sets. And it went really well, and everyone is just excited to play because of that big snowstorm at a couple days, or about 4 or 5 days ago, which kind of shut everything down.
Cool, that's an awesome story. And again, for those that are new to the East Idaho Prepcast, we have Sam Buffington. He lives in North Idaho, like I do. Hey, Sam, good to see you.
Happy birthday! It was his birthday, I think, yesterday.
What? Oh yeah. My gosh. Sam, happy birthday. I am. So Sean is the head tennis coach at Century High School. Man, when it comes to birthdays, I'm bad at that. You know, everybody on usually, if you have a Facebook account, right, it'll pop up like, hey, it's Sam's birthday today. Here's the problem. I'm rarely on Facebook. I'm not social media in general. Twitter, I get people sometimes that send me like DMs on Twitter, and I don't see it for like days or like weeks even. And it's not because I don't feel like talking to you. It's because I'm not on it a lot. And if I am, it's for work, and I'm just really quickly posting what I'm posting and getting out, and I'm not hanging around. So Sam says, yeah. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, I'll totally piggyback on your happy birthday wishes, Sean. For sure.
Yeah. So this is my 20th year of coaching tennis. And we've never, The only time we've ever played inside is for state when it get rained out or something like that. And so it's the first time ever we, you know, started inside with a match inside. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I think it was a cool experience for the Bonneville kids, my kids, just to get a play. And we got to go inside, and you kind of got a cool feel because it's kind of an intimate setting with four courts and people are kind of sitting right there, and you kind of get that feel of like a state or more of a college match, which I've always wanted tennis to kind of be in Idaho, where you get more of kind of an energy. A lot of times it's just like people standing far away and on a grassy knoll, and you kind of lose kind of the cheering and things. So it was cool to be inside, a little more noisy, kind of a little more fanfare. So it's kind of fun like that. I think that's what makes tennis really exciting, is we get the fans and people watching and cheering.
Yeah, you mentioned grassy knoll. I'm like on the lookout for JFK, Sean. That's I hear you. So give us the tennis breakdown. I mean, you're plugged into especially East Idaho tennis, teams that are looking strong, individuals. I know, like, just from a general perspective, I know Hillcrest has had some incredible players come through the last couple of years. Bonneville is always strong. Blackfoot's had some good players. Thunder Ridge at the 5A level. Of course, Madison has kind of the gold standard with that beautiful facility they have up there. But give us the lay of the land in boys and girls tennis.
Let's just start with 5A. 5A, we've got a very strong girls Thunder Ridge team coming back. Thunder Ridge had girls on their JV last year that were better than a lot of regular teams, like mine included. They're loaded girls wise. Journey Hartman, the coach's daughter, her partner, they're going to be solid. They just have an endless list of girls at Thunder Ridge. Madison's always good, right? Madison's just, they just have 30 or 40 kids for every sport, right? We just know this. They're going to be good. Highland's going to be really strong boys wise. Braden Johnson comes back as a sophomore after taking fourth. Pretty much everyone has graduated except one player from Boise that beat him in that third place match. So Braden Johnson comes back looking to be a sophomore, maybe getting a state championship for Highland. He's in the mix big time right now. So, you know, 5A, those are kind of what, you know, I'm looking at are really good. Highland played Idaho Falls Friday and came away with a win. Idaho Falls is kind of new. They've got some names that are familiar, but they're like sisters, right, of people coming back, but they'll be good too. Katie Woodhouse, there's been a couple Woodhouses that have been really good for Idaho Falls, so they're going to be solid too. Bonneville, like I said, Roman Anderson, their number one singles player, the coach's son, he's good. There's a ton of good tennis. The other teams, Hillcrest now, I can't think of her name. She took second for Hillcrest. She graduated. Berkeley Olson graduated. So Hillcrest is going to look a little different. They have Nicole Tran. She's a good player. They're going to be tough. Blackfoot graduated some of their top players, so they're going to be a little younger coming in. We'll have to see. And get this, Brandon, first year ever, Shelley Rushets have a team. They've already played a match. They've played Bonneville. So Shelley doesn't have the facilities. They got a grant, like a $250,000 grant, to build tennis courts in Shelley somewhere. I think there's already a park, so maybe they're just redoing that park that has tennis courts. So their team's traveling everywhere for every match because they don't have courts. So Shelley, with the first year season, adding to that District 6 4A, so they're going to be solid. And yeah, here in Pocatello, it's just me and Pokey, because Preston doesn't have a tennis team, and Pocatello is going to be pretty good too. They've got some good returning players. They got a new head coach, former alumni Haley Scott. She played tennis at Pocatello High School with me. She's way better than me. She played at ISU. She's a phenomenal asset now for the Thunder. Haley Scott being their head coach and good friend of mine, and her first year, but definitely not inexperienced as far as coaching tennis, and she's going to do a great job. And for me, I'm pretty young, but all my young kids are really well, a lot of freshmen. And of course, Daniel McGee is a junior. You've heard his name before. He's gotten second and fourth, in singles, but his brother is a freshman, Liam McGee. Those two might be playing together. We have Titan Lin, who is a freshman who's playing really well, and Max Shing, who's a freshman who's 2-0 in singles right now as a freshman. He beat Roman Anderson from Bonneville. He also beat Ryan Garrett from Burley, both two seniors that have been to state multiple times, and Max has beaten them already pretty convincingly. So he's going to be a strong player for 4 years for me. So, yeah, a lot of tennis. Don't get me started on talking tennis.
No, that was good.
Lose my breath. But there's so much. And a lot of teams haven't played, so I don't have a good barometer on some of the other teams like Skyline. Shea Shippen is a good girls singles player for Skyline, basketball player, of course, we know. I would imagine she's still playing. She sometimes does tennis and track, so I don't know, but they're going to be solid too. I think I nailed all the schools in Idaho Falls. There's so many.
But does Kaisa Shippen also do tennis?
I don't think so. I think she does do track.
Okay.
But Kaisa, I feel like Kaisa played once before, but I know Shea does. So they play, and they'll be Skyline. Skyline always seems to have the hardest pull to get tennis players out of. You get so many schools. I'm like, how many? You know, you need so many good tennis players. Like, so in Pocatello, there's three teams. That's 56 kids for three good teams. And that's a lot of kids for three teams in Pocatello. So to have that many kids be proficient at tennis is tough. It's just, there's not a ton of tennis players as opposed to like other sports, right? It's a little smaller niche, but moving golf, I think, helps a lot of us.
Yeah. Because to fill out a tennis lineup, you need four singles players on the boys' side, four singles players on the girls' side. You need four. It's three.
Yeah. So it's nine girls, nine boys.
Oh, so why did I think it was four? In Montana, it's four. You can do four. Then you have three doubles teams for boys. I'm just going to let you, Sean, you explain the numbers that are needed.
So three boys singles, two boys doubles, and then two mixed doubles, and then three girls singles and two girls doubles. So you have 12 matches. It's nine girls, nine boys.
Gotcha.
The mix counts as half. Something very unique to Idaho is we do the mixed. Texas does it. There's not very many states anymore that do a mixed doubles that I know of. A lot of them have went away from it, and they do the two separate seasons for boys and girls. So something definitely unique here. And depending on who you talk to, they like it or don't like it. It's kind of a weird thing. I think for smaller schools that don't have 18 tennis players, like Minico, Burley, there's even smaller 3A schools that barely have enough but have some good players. Those mixed teams are a way two good players can make it to state and make some noise. And we've seen that in the past. So Blackfoot's had some good mixed doubles teams. You know, they're two best players together. So, you know, I think it's a cool thing to have, definitely for smaller schools that don't have the numbers, because then you're able to really combine strengths.
Yeah, it is cool. For sure. Mixed doubles for tennis. Well, we'll keep an eye on tennis as the season progresses, and good luck to everybody out there competing. So where does Shelly practice at?
Well, I'm guessing they have that park. I just looked this up a little bit ago, and I'm guessing there's some tennis courts in Shelley that they're practicing at, but I don't know for sure. But they might not be great enough to play matches, but you know, if you can bounce the ball and put a net up, you can practice. Trust me, I know. I'm practicing without lines right now, so which has actually been pretty good. But I think they must just be practicing there. I guess Blackfoot would be the closest, but I don't know if they're sharing or anything. I just really don't even know that much about it until I saw them on the schedule and talked to a few people that it was their first year. But I think that's great. I mean, you got to start somewhere and get that program going, and why not? And just get it started. And it's great they got that grant, and we'll have courts eventually. It sounds like probably for the next season, next year.
Cool. That's awesome. More opportunities for more kids. That's what it's all about, for sure. All right. Before we look at the rest of the spring sports landscape, or lack thereof, if you're from Idaho and you're between 13 and 18 years old, enter the No Vape video contest to expose the shadowy commercial tobacco marketing tactics behind vaping. Just create and upload your 90-second vape bashing masterpiece, and you could win a portion of the more than $10,000 in prize money being awarded. Deadline to enter is April 1st. Winners will be announced May 1st. Raise your voice about the dangers of vaping and win big cash prizes thanks to No Vape Idaho. K-N-O-W. No Vape Idaho. It's right there in the top right-hand corner. I think I'm pointing the right way. There we go. Yeah, that way. All right. Let's move on to track and field. We had kind of the opening weekend of competition last week, Sean. And right out of the gates, I saw this on one of the few times I was on social media. I actually saw this from Firth High School. They went over to a meet hosted by Canyon Ridge over there in Twin Falls. And it was pretty remarkable, Sean. On the boys' side, they had 38 new PRs. For those that aren't in the track and field lingo, PR, personal record. That's the goal every meet, is to improve your own personal record. 38 new PRs on the boys' side, 19 new PRs on the girls' side. That's the way to start.
I mean, that, yeah, that's... I'm assuming it's their first meet, right? Running, right? Yeah. Too. So come out of the gate literally with PRs is unreal. And you know, what a way to build your season and set goals. I know a track is so much about goal setting and how we shave this second and this, and you know, get this much higher. But as you already start with PRs, you've just set yourself up to, I mean, you already beat some goals, so that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So Kinsey Nielsen won the 1600 meter run. She's a great distance runner for Firth. Definitely one to keep an eye on this year. And then the other kind of the big meet that was taking place in East Idaho, Sean, was in Preston. This initially was going to be a quad, but it kind of ballooned into a larger event.
Yeah, at first I think it was just going to be Century in Preston, and then it turned into a quad, and then we've got nine teams. So you had Bonneville, Hillcrest, Preston, Century, Idaho Falls, Thunder Ridge, Grace, Madison, and Westside all ended up going last Friday down in Preston, because Preston's been one of those areas where they've been able to play baseball and do track. The weather's been good enough. But yeah, it was nice to get that competition in. And, you know, looking at those results, you've seen some familiar names, right? Matea Magnum wins the 200 and 100. You've got 100 boys, Parker Elliott from Idaho Falls. Now, that's a name we've heard before. You know, some different players there. So, you know, there's the high, they pole vaulted as well. And I was surprised every time I see pole vaulting, I just immediately think Rigby, but it, you know, Rigby wasn't there, but Preston girls got the pole vault. But yeah, a lot of great results, but nine teams getting it done is great.
Yep. And of course, the best pole vaulter in Idaho is Abby Scott.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, and then in the 400 meter, you have Parker Moser from Westside wins. That's pretty big over some 5A schools, but he's a fast little guy. I don't think he's very little, but he's I've seen him run.
he's a great three sport athlete for Westside for sure. Yeah, Abby Scott, the great pole vaulter from Rigby, signed with Utah State. She's going to be a member of the Aggies track and field program next year. Matea Mangum, you mentioned, from Century, won the 100 in a time of 12:08. That's the best time in the state of Idaho very early on in the season. And meanwhile, Highland went over to Boise to compete in a quad meet over there. And Tambry Bell came hot out of the gates in the 400, 56.76. That is the best time currently in the state of Idaho in the 400. Also, at that Preston quad, Sean, you had Leah Pebley of Hillcrest clear 5'4" in the high jump. That's the top mark in the state so far. And then Abby Scott from Rigby cleared 12 feet in the pole vault. She cleared 13 feet last year. So that's just, you know, she'll build up to that as she goes. But already, you know, some East Idaho standouts on the statewide leaderboards to start the year. The team scores at the Preston quad, whatever you want to call it, Preston invite, the Preston girls ran away with it. 173.3 points. Century was second at 75.6. So, I mean, you're talking about almost 100 point margin of victory.
Yeah.
Boys race was very tight. Idaho Falls wins the team title, 93.67 points. Hillcrest at 84.17, Madison at 83. So just over a point separates Hillcrest and Madison for second and third, and Idaho Falls wins by roughly 9 points, give or take. So pretty good competition to start, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and Idaho Falls always has those great distance runners, right, for track. It's always a big boost to their total scores. I'm sure someone from Idaho Falls won. Yeah, Luke
Athey
won the 3200. Yeah, I knew someone would win. And Caleb Boy and Eli Braun got fourth and fifth. So right there, that's some place points. But yeah, good track meet. Good results. We know East Idaho likes the 1600, 800. It's kind of our niche.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about athletes to keep an eye on, and Sean, this spring at idahosports.com, Tuesdays are for track and field. Every Tuesday, Marlo Herford's going to empty out the notebook and give us the biggest statewide track and field news and nuggets and everything you need to know. We launched it yesterday, Tuesday, March 19th, with her statewide preview. She broke down all the classifications, gave you teams, gave you athletes to keep an eye on. The big names from East Idaho, you know, Matea Mangum in the sprints and jumps from Century, Abby Scott in the pole vault from Rigby, of course, Neela Roberts, the great distance runner from Skyline, looking to go 4 for 4 in the mile, the 1600. Luke Athey from Idaho Falls actually missed last season with an injury, so he's back for his senior year. Corbin Johnston is a great distance runner for North Fremont at the 2A ranks. Nettie Garbett from Soda Springs, that's a name we're calling all the time in hoops. She's a great 200, 400 sprinter for Soda Springs. Sugar Salem's got too many kids to list.
But Brett Hill, though, right? Yes. What's he looking for? 53 state title. I was looking at that on the other or yesterday or today, and I'm like, 52, right? He's looking for that 53rd state title between cross country track. Man, just that's crazy. I'm sure we'll bring it up 52 more times, but it's unreal stat.
Yeah, for sure. Brett Hill, who started at Firth and then moved on to Sugar Salem last spring, the Sugar Salem boys won the 3A state track and field title. It was Coach Hill's 52nd career championship in cross country and track and field, boys and girls, Firth and Sugar Salem. It's simply unmatched. It's just unmatched. I'm not sure anybody will ever touch it, to be honest.
I don't know. Not with the turnover in coaching, right? You see that now. People aren't going to, it's just not, I just don't think it's the norm anymore to stay somewhere very long. It just doesn't seem that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong, but it's crazy. I also wanted to, you know, talk about too, and 2A Aberdeen, you know, last year, their first state title, and they'll be back with Brody Beck. You know, he's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah. Really fun group of athletes there in Aberdeen as well. Baseball, softball, Sean, if you want to play, you got to head out of the area. Hillcrest is already off to an 8-2 start in softball, mostly because they went south to Utah for a pair of tournaments, one 2 weeks ago, one last week. In fact, the entire High Country Conference 4A was in St. George, Utah last weekend. Hillcrest, Blackfoot, Bonneville, Skyline, Shelley, and Idaho Falls, plus Highland, and then a couple of 2A teams, Bear Lake and West Jefferson. They all went down to St. George, Utah, to compete at the Dixie Sunshine Classic. I think the sun only shined for one day, though, because the schedule for Saturday got wiped out. But some interesting results. Highland had to play Bear Lake, which you don't see often, 5A versus a 2A. Highland did win that game. And then Highland and Hillcrest kind of looked at each other and said, well, the games got wiped out in St. George. Why don't we head back to Idaho and just play each other in the doubleheader? Hillcrest swept that. Hillcrest is going to be very good this year. In terms of the 5A ranks, I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure there's enough data to really gauge. I think Highland, despite the slow start, is going to be right there in the mix, right? They've been the strong program the past couple of years. Thunder Ridge, of course, is going to be right there too. And then, you know, Rigby went 23-10 last year. It might be kind of like all the other sports we've seen where there's like three or maybe even four really good teams, and they all just kind of beat up on each other.
Yeah, and that was kind of, I remember last year in softball in the District 6-5A, is, you know, Thunder Ridge had this really, really good pitching, but then Rigby won, and then Highland is always just good at softball for 100 years, and they find a way. And then, you know, Madison, you know, you can't ever count out a Madison team. So it's just kind of, it's hard to put a gauge on it right now. I think we'll have to see some more games, but it could just be a very competitive season. And then who's ever hot at the end, who's ever pitching well, right, comes away with that. But it'll be something to keep our eyes on in that 5A District 6.
And I think the two best softball teams in East Idaho, Sean, haven't actually had a chance to play yet. You know which teams I'm going to reference here?
Thunder?
No, Thunder. Thunder's. Oh, the Pocatello Thunder. Yes. Yes, that's one of them. You know the other?
Malad?
Malad, you got it. Yes. Yes, way to go. Yeah, neither one has played yet. Of course, Pocatello had such a great season last year. They went 20. I don't want to shortchange him on the record here. They went 29-2, Sean. They got all the way to the, you know, the final with Skyview.
Having to beat them twice, right?
Yes. They won the first game and then lost the second one. No. So they had beaten Skyview in the undefeated semifinal game. Skyview then battled back through the consolation side and had to beat Pokey twice, and they did. And so those were Pocatello's first and only two losses of the year. They were undefeated up to that point, and they lost only two seniors from last year's team. So you look at, like, Taylor Bunderson is back, and she was such a great player.
Mia Lusk.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Kirstine Kent in the pitcher circle is phenomenal. Taylor Rogers. They played a lot of young freshmen. So Pocatello, a team, you know, definitely keeping an eye on. And then Malad, of course. I mean, what more needs to be said about the Dragons? They've been the premier 2A softball program. They went 23-0 last year, right? They were the only team in Idaho to go undefeated in softball. They do have a new coach this year. Oh, go ahead.
They had a slow start last year too, I remember they didn't play for ever. They didn't get some results until ever. And I think you kept going, "Oh, don't worry, they'll be fine." It was the Brandon calming sounds. "It'll be all right." And because if I remember correctly, everyone's like, you know, no one was voting for him in the polls. And you're kind of like, "Well, that's the best team here, guys. Just wait for it."
They did not make their season debut last year until April 6th.
Oh my God. Okay, so I remembered something correctly then. Because that's like, the season's over. I mean, like, that's a month maybe of playing left.
So they, I mean... And then, of course, once they got going, they went undefeated. They bring back, Wrigley Peterson, who was a great sophomore pitcher last year, and players like Hallie Horsley at the plate. And so the one thing that changed for Malad is a new coach. Christy Schau retires. Bree Adams is the new head coach at Malad, but I'm sure it'll be the same old, same old. They are going to make their season debut, Sean, today, allegedly. Snake River coming to town Wednesday, March 20th for a 4:00 first pitch. The weather's nice, right?
Yeah, it's like 60 degrees in Pocatello. So,
okay.
I mean, Malad's, I don't know. It is kind of almost like a different atmosphere there, but it maybe. I just know the problem was we had that really heavy snow here in East Idaho, so the fields just haven't recovered and dried or whatever. I'm not the expert, but I guess it can't be muddy or at a certain, if they're just soaking wet, it's just not good to play on it, and it'll ruin it for the rest of the year. So I know that was a big concern, is just getting that moisture out of the fields.
Yeah, it gets waterlogged for sure. Baseball, Sean, the big story I think is in the 3A ranks, where, you know, Marsh Valley right? They won state 2 years ago. They're off to a 2-1 start this season. They swept Teton in the season opener last Friday, 17-0 and 11-0. And then they fell on Saturday to Kimberly. It was their third game in 2 days. They fell 6-1. Kimberly, another perennial 3A baseball power. In the win over Teton, the first win, Tough Solomon comes out and throws a no-hitter. No big deal. And if he hadn't hit, he had a couple hit by pitches, but otherwise he would have thrown a perfect game. Wow. What a way to start the year.
Starting on a high note, right? You could just tip the hat to him and walk off, right? I guess that's the way to start. And you mentioned Kimberly, and I feel like Kimberly's already beaten a lot of people already this year. You guys will probably talk about it later this week. They've played quite a bit. They had a 15-5 win over Preston just recently, so... don't want to talk about Magic Valley that much, but good job.
That was last night over Preston. They won 15-5. Here, Chris Carey in the chat here, Sean. The weather is great in Malad today.
There we go.
Okay, there we go. Softball is on in Malad against Snake River. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, get yourself an Iron Port. You know, do you ever have Iron Port drink? Do you ever have that? It was like a weird soda, but one of the last places you could get it was in Malad. Kind of tasted like a root beer. Nope. People in Malad will get it. Iron Port, the little gas station thing. Nope. All right, move on. Track and field.
Anyways, we're going to quickly pivot. Sugar Salem went to Fruitland for the Bill Betts baseball tournament last week. They went 2-1 at the tournament, Sean. They lost to Timberlake in their opener, 6-1. That's a long trip for Timberlake all the way up there in North Idaho. But then they beat Fruitland 11-4 and New Plymouth 8-3. So I thought that was pretty encouraging for Sugar Salem. And then they're headed back over to the Treasure Valley this week, along with pretty much every baseball team in East Idaho. And a lot of softball teams going over to Boise this week as well for the annual spring break tournaments. We've got on the baseball side, the Bucks Bags tournament, which is hosted by like six high schools over there, you know, Timberline, Capital, Boise, Bora, Nampa, Valley View, Meridian, I think hosts. And then there is a kind of like a 5A only spring break tournament hosted by Rocky Mountain. And Highland is going to go over and play in that. And then you have the big, huge softball, you know, the Win the Pitch Spring Break Classic, which is taking place, you know, at Valley View and Ridgeview and Meridian and all these places too on the softball side. So if you are looking for baseball or softball action this weekend, Boise is the place to be.
Yeah, there won't be a field empty with all those tournaments going. Everyone will be playing everywhere. Century will be up there. Mikey Blackhawk, pretty excited to get up there and play. You know, Pocatello Thunder baseball off to a pretty good start too. And Blackfoot baseball. I think Blackfoot baseball is going to be my dark horse for this year. I wanted to get it out today. So I kind of feel like they're kind of going to be sneakily really, really, really good in East Idaho, the Broncos.
Can you really be a dark horse if you're led by a pitcher on the mound who's committed to Oregon State and Dax Whitney? I'm just giving you flack. I think Blackfoot's going to be great this year too.
I like their coach, right? It's mostly a coaching thing. You know the players, I know the coaches, but I like Blackfoot's coach. He's always so much fun. I have like this feeling like Blackfoot's going to sneak in and maybe win a state title in baseball. Don't know why. Just felt it as I woke up this morning.
Okay. And, you know, Bonneville was the most recent team from East Idaho from District 6, I should say, to win a state title. And, of course, Pocatello, Coach Vinny Benavidez, right? They did it last year. They beat Twin Falls. They beat Bishop Kelly in Twin Falls to win the 4A title last year. Pokey off to a 1-3 start, Sean. They opened with a win over Madison, 7-5, but since then they've lost to your Blackfoot Broncos, 11-1, and then they lost to Twin Falls last night, 14-4.
Yeah, and Blackfoot also lost to Madison, too, right? Yeah, Blackfoot, so that's kind of a weird, circle, yeah. So I was trying to come up with a scenario where that made sense, but it didn't. But yeah, you know, I think Twin Falls is, you know, always really good at baseball, and early in the season work some things out. But I think Vinny prides himself on starting with a tough schedule, a meaningful tough schedule, and that'll pay off later. So maybe they might not have the wins losses, but the Thunder, I think, is a good team. They bring back a lot of great players, and Stukey, and you know, Keller's pitching. I can't imagine his pitch is slow. He's like 8 feet tall. Boom, you know. So I think they'll be all right, but maybe a little bit of slow start with that game in Twin Falls. But I think baseball's so hard. They just, you know, you either you're in a place where you can play, or you're in a place where you're hitting inside in a cage, and then you go travel and play. And those are two different things, right? I think it's such an advantage if you're out on the field playing and practicing, whether or if you're inside in a practice facility. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, nope. It's if you're a Pokey fan, you're good. Nothing to worry about. And look at this. We've got Coach Benavidez in the chat, Sean. Not how you start, it's how you finish. No doubt. I was just going to say that. You know, it's a long season for sure. That's we love Coach Benavidez and Pokey baseball for sure. Comment from Scott Burton, our Magic Valley Prepcaster. Scott and I are going to do the Magic Valley Prepcast tomorrow sometime. Great show, boys. I learned so much about tennis. I am no longer Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party.
I don't think you ever were, but.
There you go. You're imparting your tennis knowledge on the masses here, Sean. Okay, before we get out of here, let's take one look back to basketball season. Last weekend up at North Idaho College in Coeur d'Alene, we had the statewide all-star basketball games. East Idaho performed exceptionally well, Sean. Riley Edlifson of Snake River came out and was the MVP of the girls' game, and she was playing against Division I players, playing with Division I players, and it's Riley Edlifson, the commit to Northwest Nazarene University in Nampa, who comes out and leads all scorers with 25 points and wins the MVP. Way to go, Riley.
Yeah, and in watching that, you really see the size difference, right? Riley is not the tallest person out there, but just the ability to play the way she does with the size she's at, I think that's just the amazing thing that stood out for me watching. But I mean, I already knew she was great from being here in East Idaho and getting her to watch her play multiple times, but just seeing her amongst all the trees of all those other girls, I was pretty impressive. And sometimes we talk about height means so much, but when you're just a good basketball player, throw the height out the door. I mean, really, I mean, she shows what, you know, how the non-traditional kind of height thing happens there. So congrats to Riley.
Yeah, Edlifson is 5'7", but she stole the show. She made the finals or the semifinals of the three-point contest. Fell to Sid Rodriguez of Owyhee in the girls' final. And then Sid Rodriguez of Owyhee won the overall co-ed three-point contest. And then in the dunk contest, Sean, you called it. We kind of gave our predictions last week on the East Idaho PrepCast, and you nailed it. You said Ty Brown of Teton was going to go out and win the slam dunk contest, and he did.
He delivered. Thank you, Ty Brown. The check's in the mail. He'll be probably doing some track too, right? Doesn't he long jump? The high jump, yeah. I remember him having some huge high jumps last year. So, but what a stiff competition, though. You were saying before how. And also, I thought Riker Appleton from Middleton would do a good job too dunking, because I watched some of his games at State. But Ty Brown, congrats, man! East Idaho can dunk. We're just not farmers down here. We're dunkers.
That's right. It was cool to see. I learned a couple of cool things about Ty Brown over the weekend. The first was he obviously great wide receiver in football, excellent forward in basketball, great high jumper in track. He is also an outstanding member of the District 6 Orchestra, Sean.
What instrument?
A big guy like that, you know he's playing the cello, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was cool. Awesome. Yeah, that was cool to discover. And then we did an in-game interview with Ty Brown on the broadcast on idahosports.com on Saturday. And we kind of asked him, like, cameo appearance, one of your little ones ran on. We asked him, what are your plans? He's going to go on a church mission for 2 years. And then he said, after the 2-year mission, he said, I don't know, probably just go to BYU Idaho and be a student and hang out. And I'm like, if I'm a college coach, I'm calling Ty Brown today, like
for anything, right? Basketball, football, track. I bet you he could play baseball if you wanted him to.
Yeah. Hello, anyone? Bueller?
Does he have any offers for? That's surprising.
Yeah, and maybe he does, and just wants to be a student too. I guess we didn't dig that far into it, but I was like, okay. I mean, that's cool. He's such a great kid too. Real quiet and nice, well-mannered kid. So it was really fun to get to see everybody from East Idaho go over there and compete. And boy, Dave Austin from Hillcrest was coaching one of the boys' teams, coached him to a pretty significant win. It was a blowout. This year, the teams had sponsors, and he was coaching Team Domino's, and he was going up against TeamIdahoSports.com. TeamIdahoSports.com did not fare well, Sean. It was ugly.
I mean, you know, it's an all-star game, right?
They were down. IdahoSports.com was down 27-3 to start the game.
But we're here every week, though.
That's right. In life, when you take it on the chin, you got to come back and earn it. So,
what did Vinny say? It's not how he starts, how you finish.
That's right.
How's it gonna finish next year?
That's right. That's great. Okay. Well, big thanks to everybody for tuning in to the East Idaho Prepcast here on IdahoSports.com. Enjoy spring break. Enjoy the competition this weekend, everybody. We'll be back here next week to break it all down again for you. Same great time, same great place. For Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Maney. Thanks for tuning into the East Idaho Prepcast presented by No Vape Idaho on IdahoSports.com.